Tell me, are you ready to find your weird way? Weird was a concept that was spoken of long ago. It meant fate, it meant destiny, it meant your path in life. I'm your host, Dean Bentley, and I am here to explore how you can connect to your own path in life, to know the essence of your own soul, to connect to that single spark that lives within the deepest recesses of your being that says, this is why I am here, to go beyond the limitations, the constrictions of the modern world and open you to the possibilities and the potentiality of what is possible within this world. Join me as we dive deep on the weird way. Welcome, welcome. We have another episode of The Weird Way coming here today. This is an episode I'm deeply, deeply excited for. I've got Melissa Johnson back on. She's never been on, but we've done a few conversations. I've been on her podcast, The Dream Hub, and she's been on a live with me where we got to really explore dreams and everything they mean, what they're about, her own connections to dream. And this conversation is something I don't share too much, but one of my secret passions. I've always been fascinated by dreams, by what they mean, by understanding the symbology, where they come from, and have been a big catalyst in my own journey of growth, of healing, and understanding of who I am. So, Melissa, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on The Weird Way today. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So, I want to start off with, let's get right into it. So you're a dream therapist, you're a dream teacher, and I want to know if you can just explain a bit more of what that is for the audience so they can really have a big understanding of what we'll be talking about here today.
Sure. So a dream teacher is somebody who teaches you about the power that is dreams. And you know, so I can sort of go around and teach lessons, going to a kindergarten soon and doing a lesson for the kids. And so that's just so amazing. And then a dream therapist is somebody who, well, like the title says, is a therapist. So we go and we work with the dream and we get into the depths of the dream and really of your subconscious. And I help you to discover the meaning within these messages that are coming through to you in the night and how to use them in your waking life to enhance your life and solve problems and just live with your soul's alignment so that you are just like truly happy. And yeah, that can take a little bit of digging around, but it's so magical and just so absolutely transformative. So I'm really passionate about the dream therapy side of things as well, because I mean, it's all good to kind of wake up from a dream and think, oh yeah, I feel like I know what that means, and then go about your day. But when you go back and you actually analyze every little part of the dream and realize that they're so multi-layered, there's not just one meaning behind a dream. And usually when you, if you wake up thinking that you know what the dream is, you don't actually know what it is. You didn't get the message. You've really got to work with it to have that, oh wow, that's what it was, kind of a feeling. And then I help you to then, yeah, use that wisdom or that aha moment in your waking life.
I love this, and I feel at peace here, because for me, when I was younger, I just assumed dreams were, they're kind of cool, you know. I was like, oh my god, that was kind of cool, or terrifying depending where I was at in my life. But I had never considered what they were or what they meant or like anything more about them. It was just like, oh, that happened, and I'd let them go and go on my day. And I can remember that being a big part of my life. So could you share how you view dreams and what you view dreams as, and so people can have an understanding of what we're actually working with here?
Sure. I'll try and do this in as small a way as possible, because that's a huge question, because dreams are so much. There's some people that say dreams don't mean anything. And Some dreams don't mean anything, and that's fine, but a lot of dreams do mean a lot. And they're on a wide range of different things where we can look at it from a scientific perspective and look at like neuroscience and what's happening in your brain while you're dreaming. And it's a way to physically heal. It's a way for your body to send signals to you to let you know if you have any ailments or things that you could look out for. It's like scientifically, that's where we're going. It's like emotional processing, healing trauma. Then when we want to look into like the metaphysical side of things, dreams are, oh, I just got goosebumps. Dreams are like a communication system that we have between ourselves. So you can have like telepathic dreams and they can warn us of the future. We can have precognitive dreams that are letting us know what's going to come up. And we can also have dreams with people who have passed away and receive communication on the other side that way. And then we can do things on the next level. And that's when you hear about astral projection or going up into different realms. We can also time travel in dreams. So you can go backwards and heal parts of you from the past, or you can go forwards and you can gain information from the future and bring it back. And did you lack that thing that you saw in the future or not? And then you can use it as a way to correct your course. The other awesome thing about dreams that I love is the biohacking side of it, where you can use it to solve your problems. And it can be any type of a problem. It can be something as simple as like, I don't know, I had a dream the other night that my daughter came and told me that her little Puma shoes were too tight. And that was my dream. And then I woke up and checked and they were a little bit too tight. So it's like they're warning you things, helping you plan. You can go to sleep with a problem on your mind and your dream will try to solve it for you, because your mind is scanning. Like in your waking life, we're scanning constantly, looking around and picking up on every little detail. But our conscious mind, we can't remember it all. We store it in the back. And then at nighttime, that's when we can go and sift through everything that we saw throughout the day. And our subconscious will pick out things that we may have missed that could be helpful to us. And then it will try to present it in a way using symbols and emotions to try to get your attention so you don't forget about that thing. It's so cool. There's so many different things that you can do with dreams. And I think a lot of people believe different things. I believe all of it. Like it's, you know, it's personal, it's subjective, and it's usually what you've personally experienced in your life as to what you believe that they are and the way that your brain is. So like logical scientific people might think that that's all that it is. And it could just be that they've not had a metaphysical dream, and vice versa. And luckily for me, I've been able to experience the whole range of it all. So I think everyone's right. And that's the cool thing about dreams is we all have our own and our own relationship with ourselves and with our own dreams. And they can be whatever you want them to be. They can change flavor depending on what you ask. They'll give you different things depending on your beliefs. So, yeah, it's a mixed bag.
It's a very mixed bag. And I really love this piece around what I felt in this. There's a level of intentionality that comes to dreams when we're asking for certain things or we're looking to solve certain problems. It's like, oh, I'm here with an intention for my dream. And I think back in ancient Egypt, they had what was called Asclepian temples, and they were dream temples where people would come for healing. They'll do different rituals and they'll do fasting, and they'll have, say, visions of gods coming to heal them in their body. And then there's actual records of this, of people leaving the temples healed, like things that they didn't know could heal, they were healed in their dream. And it was like, oh, there's processes that are occurring here that we don't fully understand. And yes, there's other things happening. They're going through fasting and ritual to help that process clear the channel to connect to the dream. But then through that, they were able to create healing. And for me, that really opened the fascination with dreams when I started learning about this. Of like, oh, it's a portal. And this is how I kind of view it. And like you're saying, it's like everyone has their own view. For me, I see it as a portal to tap into a different level of reality, something where something else can take over, where I don't need conscious control, but something else is guiding the ship. And for me, that's fascinating, of trying to pinpoint, oh, what is that that is guiding? Because I've had dreams where there've been nightmares, where but they've been healing. I've had ones where I've been in frozen terror. There's been so many ones that have offered healing and gifts and like understanding of self, of the precognitive, of the future. And it's like, wow, to see that all of these aspects exist, I think it is a great harm to disconnect from that. And I want to ask you something, because I had this when we were running the Dream Temple, when I ran that and I met you for the first time at a Dream Temple, which was really fun. I had the thought, and one of the reasons I created the Dream Temple was I had this awareness that people have disregarded dreams. And I see a current problem in humanity as people disconnected from their own dreams, their own hopes. And like dream as a word that means, yes, what we dream at night, but also our vision, our what we long for in this world. And I'm wondering if you, when you work with people, when maybe they haven't had many dreams, but then they start to dream, what happens for that person in their open and in their like ability to dream, not in their night, but in the world as well?
That's a really good question. It is really amazing to see. I think the thing that I see the most when people connect with their dreams sort of for the first time is that they gain so much more respect for themselves, in that they had no idea that they had this own wisdom within them. And you're wondering what controls the dream, and it is something from within that you didn't know was there. And it's like through our lives, you know, we're told what to think and who to be and what's a good job and where we fit. And that sort of closes our minds into what possibilities are out there for us, right? And when you go into a dream, all of those, the walls of the boxes that have been put around you, fall away. And the possibilities are absolutely endless. And I feel the thing that creates our dream always has our best intention at heart. And it's always going to try to show you what will make you happy. And that's the thing that I see, is the faith within themselves, and then the happiness that comes of there is something more to life. Like, you know, we struggle with things in life and we can be trying to do our best, and some days just feel like such a slog where it's just like, I can't get a break and all of this, and why does this happen to me, and how come that person always comes up with great ideas? And you can be feeling like this, and then you get a connection to your dreams, and all of a sudden you know that you start coming out with great ideas on your own, and you get like a newfound confidence in yourself, and people just start to shine. And there are so many other benefits, but I think it's that, like, it's like a light turns on inside of someone. They go from being like not empty, but like, you know, not knowing that there is so much more to life. It's like right before you have a spiritual awakening, or some people may have experienced it when they've had a spiritual awakening, it's like the world was gray before, and then they discover this thing or something goes off, and then it's like there's color to life. Yeah.
I really love this for me, like the recognition that there's so many different paths that we can take upon the spiritual journey, and dreams are something that all of us have that really do guide us back to our own soul. Like, that's what I'm hearing when you're speaking. It's like, what is that innate part of us that is true to who we are, that goes beyond all the layers and the conditioning and like everything we've experienced that can bring us home? And I think that's such a beauty gift. And I want to play devil's advocate here for a moment, because you said like that it wants to bring, I can't remember the exact words, but it's guiding us towards happiness, that statement. And I could feel like maybe some listeners, they're like, I'm having nightmares. How are these guiding me back to happiness? And if you could explore that.
For sure. So I was just gonna like pull up one of my nightmares to use as an example. The thing is that nightmares are just really dramatic messages. It's like, you know how there's always the thing that you know that you should do that you're not doing? And it could just be something little. Like it could be like, I know I need to pay my rates bill, but I don't want to do it. You know, hands up if you have ADHD, that's me. So I will get like, I don't know, repulsed by doing things that I don't really want to do, but I have to do them. Something like that can turn into the biggest nightmare. And what it will do is it will try to pick up like emotion. So for me, say it was something like that, it might give me a dream that has something that makes me feel repulsed, because that could be the feeling that I'm feeling when I'm thinking of that thing. And it will be like a disgusting, horrible, stressful dream. It could be that I feel like someone's chasing me. And you know, it could be a terrible nightmare when really it's trying to remind me, yeah, something's chasing me. It's that I'm trying to run away from doing the thing I have to do, and I'm feeling repulsed by it. So it could be some disgusting thing come up. It's still trying to help me. It's saying, Mel, pay your rates so you don't get fined, so you don't get kicked out. Like, it will find practical things and dramatize them so much. And as soon as you start working with myself or even with Dean, I know you're great with dreams, and we can figure out what the message is behind the dream, and you take the action, the dream is gone, or it transforms. You won't have a nightmare again. It'll like basically scan your whole life of everything that's going on in your life, like as of today. Find the worst thing or the thing that's on your mind that's making you miserable and highlight it for you, so that you can change it, so that you can take action. And I feel you if you're listening and you have nightmares. I used to have extreme nightmares. That's how I got into being a dream therapist, was because I was petrified to go to sleep. I hated my dreams. It was like worse than like anything traumatic that I've been through in my life. Like the dreams were worse and I didn't want to go there. But when I discovered that they are trying to help me, and that like a nightmare is a terrible thing to waste, we need to listen to them and pay attention to them. Don't try to suppress them. This is the thing. People are taking sleeping tablets to suppress their nightmares, or smoking heaps of pot so that they don't have to think about it, or drinking a bottle of wine so that they can just switch off and not lay in bed thinking about their worries. But if you're doing these things, like that is a huge red flag. It means that there's something within you that knows how to help you, and it's trying to get your attention. And if you are having nightmares, it's usually not going to continue on forever. We just need to figure out what it's trying to say and how you can action it. And then they'll subside and they'll go away, and you'll start having nicer dreams and happy dreams and funny dreams and like really amazing dreams. And that's what's happened for me. So yeah, if you're listening, please don't be shy. Reach out, follow me on Insta, send me a message, book in with me, something, because this is like the turning point for you in your life. If you're having a nightmare, it's like stop and pay attention and grab it and cherish it. And as painful and as uncomfortable as it is to visit that, it needs to be done so that you can see the beauty that's on the other side.
I always can come back to the same, what we resist persists. And it's like, oh, if I ignore this, if I just try and shove it under the carpet, or I always get the analogy of when I was a kid, I would push like a floating a ball under the water and try and hold it down. And the more I had tried to hold it down, it would just like come out sideways and shoot off. And that's how I feel it is with this. It's like, oh, if I'm not willing to be with that nightmare or be with the sensation it invokes, it's like, oh, of course it's going to continue happening because that message needs to get louder, because it's like, hey, you're not hearing me, you're not listening. So it can be, I consider it a bit like a naughty kid. If you're like, nope, I'm not listening, it's going to be like yell louder and louder and louder until we get to that point where it's like, holy shit, I actually need to listen to this and see what's happening, because this isn't normal, or this isn't what needs to happen, and it's inviting me into change, which which I think is so powerful. And you really began to tap onto your story there of having the nightmares, of that being the opening for you into like this dream work and the dream world. And I'm wondering if you could share a bit of that journey of like what was occurring for you at the time that caused those nightmares and also moved you into this place where it's like, oh, I need to listen. So, and that brought about the change as well.
For sure. My nightmares started as a kid, and a thing that kids can do, or anyone can do, is they can shut their dreams out if it gets so bad. And so I just only have random ones every now and again, but never a good one. And I had a lot of dreams where people were always trying to fight me. So people usually will have their own themes of what's going on. Some people's might be like, oh, people are always trying to chase me, or I'm falling, or I'm running late to something, or whatever it was. Mine was always fighting me. So I would have dream characters coming up and just trying to beat the shit out of me, basically. And it all came down to that. It was just, I was having internal battles with myself because I was doing things for other people and not for me. So my background before this is I was a fitness model, and I was in like modeling for a very long time, and it wasn't my passion. It was just, oh, you're pretty and you're good at that, and people wanted to pay me and book me, and it was seemed very, very easy work. So I just fell into it. But I knew I wanted to help people. Like, and I thought modeling isn't helping people. But in my mind, my ego was like, sure it is. You're inspiring them to be fit and healthy. And so that's what kind of I kept going. But on the inside, I was really like, well, what if it's making other people feel self-conscious? And all these, I just didn't feel like it was right. Like it didn't spark my soul, but I kept persisting with it because I was too scared. I didn't know what else there was. Like I didn't have any other ideas of what to do. And I would have nightmares all the time of people trying to fight me. And yeah, it was just myself fighting myself. And it was lucid dreaming that helped me to actually like feel like I had some kind of a control over my life, or turn to the dream and be able to sort it out. Because I didn't, I think I was so far gone that at the time I was having the nightmares, I did not understand what it was related to at all. But I had to go in and realize, oh, okay, the girl in the dream trying to fight me, she was really pretty. She was in a school uniform. So then I take my subconscious and go back, okay, what do I think about that? How does that make me feel? What does that remind me of? And all of that sort of a thing. And it was, you know, when I was in school, I would look around and I would realize, and this is such like a shallow, egotistical thing, but I would realize that, oh, when you're pretty and people like you, you get what you want in life. And so I was so young, like 13, 14. And that's when I realized that, oh, like pretty girls have rich husbands and like it life's easy. So if you're just pretty, everyone will like you. And that was like this silly belief that was in my head, but it just, what was happening in my life in the outside was reinforcing that. Being a model, I would get offered things for free all the time just because people liked how I looked. And on the inside, I was feeling very empty because I was like, people don't know who I actually am. They don't know my personality. They don't like me. I just got dumped into this body when I came down into earth, and I'm lucky for what I got, but I had no soul connection. Like my ego was extremely happy. My soul was extremely empty, and I hated it. So there was a lot of dreams in that I was having that were conflicting and trying to show me that looks don't matter. I have a lot of dreams that tell me looks don't matter, where like I'll be on stage and I just have this really horrible haircut. Like it's like fluoro orange bob, like real doesn't suit me at all. And I'm like feeling really self-conscious of it. And then I look down and I see my husband in the audience. And he loved my hair and he was so proud of me. And he was like, I just had this feeling of like, it doesn't matter what you look like, you're doing your thing. And it's just like so healing for me and getting me to look at things in a totally different perspective. And yeah, it was there was a weird period of my life when I went like from modeling and I got into dream work, and I was just like, makeup doesn't matter, like looks don't matter. If people want to like me, they should like me for who I am. And I kind of like went a little bit like too far gone, and then I'm like, wait, I still like to feel good about myself. So but the whole shift of why I was trying to look pretty completely changed from me thinking that I had to look that way so that people would like me and accept me, to now knowing that I don't care if you don't like me or you don't accept me for how I look. I would like you to like me for who I am, or because I bring something helpful to the table. And I like knowing that I can have conversations with people, with anyone that I meet, I feel confident to speak to. Whereas I used to just sit there silently, like, oh, I'm a model, I'll speak when I'm spoken to. And that's how I used to feel. Like people just like to look at me, but they didn't like to talk to me. And if they did, I didn't feel confident in what to say. But my dreams helped me with all of that. Like it would help me to learn how to communicate. I would play out like conversations and meeting new people. And so they've helped me on like a social level of like understanding and preparing for things in the future, and for connecting with my soul and knowing what I wanted, and knowing that I didn't feel comfortable being judged just on how I looked. I wanted it to be more. And that helped me to heal a lot of the anxiety and depression I was having, because I didn't understand where that was coming from either. I was like, but I'm so pretty. I have money. I have everything I've ever wanted. Why aren't I happy? And then I'm like, oh, I'm so ungrateful. And there was like all this shame that I was putting on myself, like, you're not good enough, and all of that. Women do it a lot, especially. But my dreams really helped me to understand it all and flip it on its head and see things from a different perspective and be able to be confident taking steps in the direction that I wanted to be in, and feel confident to be able to say no to things that didn't align with who I wanted my future self to be. Like something as simple as this was a few weeks ago, I was offered a modeling job, and it was like really good money for really tiny work. I was like, oh yeah, sure. And then I had a dream, and the dream was so small. It was just like I was at work and I was meant to be serving my grandma, but I was distracted by the wrong customers. And that was it. And when I looked at it, I was like, what is that? It's like my grandma, my ancestors. Dreaming comes from ancestors. That's who I meant to be serving, is like spreading that word rather than being distracted by these tiny little superfluous, shallow cash jobs on the side. It was like, oh, if I'd spent 2 hours doing what I should have been doing with the dreams, how many more people that could have helped than that little thing that I'd picked? So they're always just trying to course correct and like bring you back into alignment with what you're, or what I feel is like our soul contract, like what we're meant to be doing. That's what they're trying to show you and to guide you and to correct you into doing. So yeah, it's been a big journey.
Very, very big journey. And I love this last piece for it's the feeling of dreams are one of the guides that really embody, there's a saying, first the feather, then the brick, and then the bus. And it's like dreams are one of the things that will start really showing us, and the more attuned we are, like you in this example, where it's like, oh, you picked up on that pretty quick. In the past, it may have been the brick that needed to come, or the bus to actually be like, hey, this isn't in alignment. And I know I've done this in my own life where it's like, oh, I think I'm on my path and I continue walking it. And then it's like, oh, things aren't feeling how they normally do, or I'm feeling like a little bit depressed or anxious and things aren't feeling like they normally do for me. And then it comes in and it's like, why is things not working? And then the nightmares or whatever it is start. And I'm like, oh, something ain't right here. I'm not listening. I'm ignoring some part of myself and this invitation for us to continue to listen. And I think this is the hard part for so many people, is that it feels like listening to something that perhaps it is us, but it comes off, it comes from deep within, but it also comes from outside of us. It's like, oh, I want to be in control. I want to be the one, my ego wants to be the one that's guiding this ship. And from your journey of what you shared, there was so much letting go of, like, it sounded like your ego felt really good because there was a lot of validation, a lot of praise, a lot of acknowledgement for being like, I guess for me, it's a level of successful, of being beautiful, of having the money. It's like what so many people strive for. But it felt like there was a surface level for that. And your dreams actually guided you into the depth of your inner being. And it was like, to actually connect to that in the way you do now, it sounded like you had to let go a lot of the surface level of, like, you let go of a lot of the model, and now it's no longer in alignment, and the dreams continue to guide you to that. So I'm wondering if you could share that process of letting go of that, because I always love this conversation where we have to be willing to die to who we were to become who we truly are, and the continual soul calling us into, like, hey, who are you truly? Not who you think you need to be, not who you've been, not who everyone else thinks you are, but like this deeper part of you that wants to come online and share, like, that process of what that was like for you.
One of the things that I struggled the most with letting go of, and this is another really shallow one, was fake tan. So, you know, I'm very white. I'm a very pasty gal. And in modeling, especially fitness modeling, we're always covered in tan. So every week I would get a spray tan, and I did not know who I was without it. I just wouldn't leave the house. Do you know what I mean? I would never let anyone see how pale my skin actually is. And my dreams helped me to let go of that. There has to be letting go before you can move forward. And you'd be surprised on the things that you need to let go of that you're kind of choosing to ignore and let keep sliding through, but your dreams will highlight it. And I just had multiple dreams where it would show me my future self, or, you know, in both ways. So I would have a dream of my future self where it would be like, if you continue down this path of, like, fake tanning, and it showed me myself in like 10 years, and I just did not look healthy. I don't know. It was just weird. It was just like a flash of just me being future me of, like, tan and, like, still, like, just, I don't know. I just didn't look great. And then another dream I had, and it was future me, and I was like really, really, like, as white as I am now, very natural. And I was in some really rich coffee shop, and I walked in, and it was me now meeting my future me. And I had this beautiful dress and this gorgeous big sun hat. And I was, like, outside having a cocktail or something, just, like, relaxing. And I went over and I was like, whoa, like, I didn't realize it was me at first. I was just like, wow, like, that girl's gorgeous. I just wanted to be near her, like, the energy to this gorgeous aura of, like, I don't know, like, cleansed and just head screwed on. Like, I was like, I need to be with her. And I walked over and I was like, excuse me. And she turned and looked, and it was me. I was like, wow. So I hugged her, and I just noticed the things I noticed, because I was like, oh, she just seemed older than me. So it was like future me. And I just was able to compare the two and be like, well, what do I want to do? And I just knew that that was who I wanted to be. And what can I do to be that way? So yeah, I believe that if you're feeling stuck and you want to, like, level up or get to the next level, letting go is so powerful energetically. Like, you need to just cleanse everything. Like, go through your clothes and be like, does this bring me joy? Does this have, like, a weird memory that I don't like anymore? Does it fit perfectly? Get rid of everything that's not right for you. And I know this isn't related to dreams, but I feel energetically it still kind of is, because you're cleansing out what's blocking the way for the new things. So, and it doesn't need to be, oh, I chuck out clothes, I get new clothes. I feel like it's just energetically clearing the space for anything new to come in. And I do it all the time, and I strongly believe in it. And it's not even just, like, physically things in your house. It would be unsubscribing to emails. It would be unfollowing people that don't make you feel amazing. You know, and if you're not sure even where to start, ask your dreams, go to sleep and be like, what do I need to get rid of to let new things come in? and see what you dream about, see what it tells you to do.
Think this is one of the biggest confrontations when it comes to this work, because it would be really nice and easy if it's like, oh, I don't have to change and I can get everything I want. If it's like, I can still be the same person, magically everything else happens. But there's actually a deep acknowledgement of who we are now and accepting, okay, this is no longer serving me. Like I can remember so many different stages in my life where it's like, oh no, these friendships aren't serving me. This relationship isn't serving me. Like whatever it has been to actually be willing to step away from to come into alignment. And it's like, oh, dreams can be that guide. Anything can be that guide to deeply see ourselves. It's like, oh, am I using something that doesn't serve?
You know, I wish I had listened to this episode earlier in the year, because I'm going through this at the moment where one of my, what I thought or who I thought was my best friend has ghosted me. And we've been friends for a really, really long time. And like, I've been so shocked. Like, I didn't know that was coming. I kind of did, but not fully. But then I went through my dream diary the other day, and the first dream of the year that I had was predicting it. And then when I go through my dream diary, it was trying to hint and tell me all along. So there's so many different layers to dreams that we wouldn't realize. But yeah, one of the first dream was just that the best friend that I'm talking about was, and then this friend that I used to have in high school who was also my best friend and just hasn't been since. So it put the two people as one in the dream. And then later on, that I had a dream and I was just in a submarine with her and we were just having so much fun, like in this submarine. But I realized it's because I was just like ignoring everything else and I was in my own little bubble of fun and choosing not to see how she wasn't aligning with my future self. You know, the kind of friend that's just always, she does a few little lies here and there, or I'll say, oh, I'm not drinking. And so she'll show up with a bottle of champagne, like little things like that, where it was just like, oh, you know, and I would think, oh, you know, she's nice. That's who she is. But like in realistically wasn't aligning with who I wanted to be. And so, yeah, my dreams have just been trying to predict that the whole year. But, and the second that I was okay with that and realized like, oh, she's not leaving me. It's just, she's been moved so that the universe can give to me or take me where it's meant to be. I felt a lot better about that. And the second that I realized, okay, I'm cleansed from that now, that's one thing gone. The next day, I won't go into details, but Sam and I came into a huge amount of luck. All these like three massive opportunities came in that day, huge phone calls, like everything. And it was just like sat me on my ass. I was like, wow. So the thing that I was in tears about this friendship, like it was a full breakup to me. I've been eating ice cream, trying to dye my own hair, like everything bad. But really it was for the best. And that's the way that dreams and the universe work sometimes, is at the time it can feel so painful, but we need to rip the band-aid off. If you know, like you know it in your depths that it's for the greater good and you're being guided to do this, then you just got to do it and see what happens and like have faith and believe.
Having faith is one of the, I think, most difficult things in these moments of life. Because it's like, if I knew everything was going to be okay, of course I would do it. If I knew by saying no to this that the opportunity would come in that would change my life. If I knew all these things, of course it would be easy. But this is the testing. This is the alignment. It's like, are we being true to that version of ourselves we want to be? Because it's like, I know this must be done. I don't know why. Or I can feel that this is true. And if I'm actually willing to do that, every time I have said yes to that call in that whisper that says, hey, you have to do this, whatever it is, if it's been to leave relationships, if it's been to go on a retreat, say yes to an opportunity, do something that I would never do before. Like I can feel the relevance of this when I started my spiritual path, when I got my first coach, it was like the biggest step in my life. I spent everything I had in my account at the time to hire a coach. And I was like, What? Why? Why? I don't want to do that. I want to feel safe and secure and have that money in my account because, but there's a deeper part of me that's like, no, Dean, you're lost. You need this. You need the guidance. You need the support. Are you willing to say yes to that and step into this arena? And until we're willing to do that, like for me, that was letting go of the attachment to the money because I wasn't using it, but I was like, I'm safe and secure. So I had to let that go to actually be willing to step onto this journey of becoming who I am today. And as people, we're going to come up against this again and again to, I see it as the refinement process. And we can use dreams as a guide of like the statue of David. It didn't form out of like, it didn't come as the statue. It came as a marble piece, and you had to chip away to reveal David beneath it and the beauty and the majesticness of that. And I see that with the human, it's like, okay, am I chipping away what no longer serves? Am I allowing myself to be refined into what is true to me, the alignment of self, the deep connection with self, the beauty of who I am? Or am I being like, oh, this marble stone, that's beauty enough. Am I just going to stay on the surface and look like a rock like everyone else? Because that's kind of how it is. And your journey feels like that of like, oh, I've revealed myself and allowed myself to shine.
That's perfect. And I love that analogy that you're using of the stone and David. If you leave it as it is, it's a stone and it just fits in with all the rest, like a brick going in, but chipping it away, and it just is something that is unable to be forgotten. Gorgeous.
Yeah, I see that as one of the greatest gifts we can give this world. And I think you would agree that through your own journey, you've been allowed to bring a greater beauty to this world. Like what you're sharing with your dream work now, the people you're helping through your own refinement, now you are someone, you're the David who allows people to see, oh, there is more beauty in the world. You're no longer a brick to just put in the wall and be like, oh, you're like everyone else. It's like, no, you're welcome to the weird way. You're a weird Melissa who is like a dream therapist and teacher. And that, for me, adds a richness to this world that
Thank you.
is needed, is needed.
Thank you. I think that the thing that you're touching on there is that, and that I want to clarify, is that we can say beauty, right? And there's beauty of what you think you should look like and what is in magazines and what social media and everyone influence you to think beauty is. But through this, I've discovered that beauty is not that at all. Beauty is your authenticity. Beauty is your kind heart. Beauty is you being authentically you and not giving in to what other people think you should do and say and questioning everything. And it's like, we all need to just be our authentic selves. Like, the world is made up of, like, we're a collective consciousness, right? We're a whole bunch of different people. And we're different people because that's what the world needs. We need to have that to make up new ideas, beautiful things like harmony. Your authenticity or your weird little quirk is the beauty. Your weirdness is the healing. And when you are trying to suppress your true identity and who you really are and try to fit into a mold or fit into a box or be quiet because you think that's what other people want, that's the moment that you dull your beauty. And then no amount of makeup and fake tan or sparkly clothes or whatever it is can band-aid on top of that. When you're suppressing your soul, it's just crushing and it will drain the beauty out of you. But when you can, be your weird self, and when someone says, oh, you can't do that, you say, who's to say? You can do whatever you want to do. You can wear whatever you want to wear and you can say whatever you want to say. And that's the thing that people think is beautiful. And just to clarify, like, when people are saying that oh, you're so beautiful for what you're doing and everything. They're not talking about how I look. They're talking about the authenticity that I share. When I share on my podcast, I'm sharing about my dreams. The most vulnerable thing that you can do is share your dreams. I think when you're sharing your dreams, it's harder to do than to get naked in front of someone sometimes. Like, you're not bearing your meat suit of a body, you're bearing your soul. And they bring up your deepest, darkest secrets. They bring up your complexes, the things that you don't want anyone else to know about. And that's what they highlight so that you can feel more confident in knowing that you can share those things. You don't need to keep those things a secret. It's okay to talk about your fears. It's okay to talk about your desires. It's okay to talk about the things that you're ashamed of, like me talking about fake tan. I knew you guys might think that that's absolutely stupid, but for me, it was real. And I know that you've all got your own things as well that you wouldn't want to come on here and say. But that's where the beauty is saying the things that you don't want to say, because other people may be feeling the exact same way and they're too shy to speak up about it. They don't want to be judged. You got to let it go. And that's what we talk about letting go, is letting go of physical things, letting go of ideas of what you think you should be, letting go of meeting up to other people's expectations. There's so much different stuff to let go of. And this is the thing, like, dreams are truly transformative and in the best way possible. And I don't know anyone that's gone to someone who's done dream working on, oh, he's changed. You know, there's someone who might start CrossFit and then people go, oh, they've changed. But dream work, it's just always going to make you better and less egotistical. It really is a lot of ego death in dream work if you're willing to go there. So much cleansing. And the beauty that comes on the other side of it is usually stuff that you'd never expect.
It's funny. I was having this conversation last night, the difference between beauty and vanity. And the vanity as a surface level metric, it's on the outside. And what we're talking about here is the beauty that radiates from the depths. It doesn't matter how you look, like, beauty is a radiant force. It comes from within. And this is the magnificence of who we are. It's like our soul shining through. And the more we can peel away, because it's always there, it's ever shining. But what can distort that beauty is the layers that we tell ourselves of, oh, I'm not okay to do that. I'm too strange to do that. That will make me unlovable. I've got to put on this mask. I've got to be quiet. I've got to be good. I've got to say the right thing. Whatever that layer is, it hides that and pushes it down. So then it becomes a surface level vanity that we're trying to create, because it's like, oh, I need to be beautiful for the world, so I can then put on the makeup, the outfit, whatever it is. And there's nothing wrong with that stuff inherently, but if it's coming from this place of I'm doing it for the outside world rather than to enhance my inner beauty, because, like, I love how I dress now. I used to try and do it to fit in. I had my hippie stage where I was like a big hippie in all the spiritual clothes, and I was doing that to belong, to get love. And now I'm like, no, how can I enhance my inner being? How can I show myself to this world? And that's how I dress now. And this is the journey of allowing beauty to shine. It's like it comes from within. And when we allow that to move outside of ourselves, that's what creates that pillar for other people to be like, oh, we can share that. And I know this would have come in your dream work. And I can think of, like, me sharing my journey as a man. I've had so many men been like, oh, I didn't feel safe to share my emotions, my vulnerability, my feelings of depression, suicidal anxiety. Like, by me being willing to share that, it's given permission for others. And that's what we're doing, because the more real we are, the more we're connected to that inner truth. If it's from dream work, if it's from whatever your path is, it's like the more gifts you have to offer the world, because you are you, like this beautiful you who was asked here for the world. Like, I get overwhelmed at times when I think of this. There's 8 billion people on the planet. And for some reason, we all got asked here we didn't have a choice in it. We the world was like, I need you, Melissa, I need you listening, I need everyone, because you have something to give, you have something to share here. And I love the parallels I see in our work. I do work with dreams, but not as deeply. And it's like, oh, we're holding the same torch for the same path in different ways. And it's like, that excites me that we're just leading people home to this part of themselves that's like, I want to express, I want to be free, I want to be me. And that excites me. And it excites me to see how much of this you're bringing to this world with dream. Because I think it's one of the things where that so many people have, and there's a curiosity. There's like, dream, I know there's something there, like we feel it, right? That there's something to it, even when we ignore it. Because it's like, what are these? I think everyone has had a conversation at some point of what are dreams, or what do they mean, or why am I having them? Mm-hmm. If it's because of nightmares or something. And that curiosity can open the world. And that is what excites me about the work you're doing. It's like, oh, people get a glimpse of that. And it's like, hey, here's the invitation. Are you going to listen to that?
Yeah, exactly. I love how you're saying that. We do the same thing in that we're leading people back into who they truly are, to be their own authentic self. And I know when I started with dream work, I didn't know who I was, and they led me to who I was. They reminded me in ways that, I'd find myself with a free day and be like, I don't even know what I want to do because I don't know what I like anymore. Like, who am I without fitness modeling? I'd usually be at the gym right now, you know, like weird. So getting my nails done or something. And, my dreams have come in and they've reminded me that I love dancing. You know, I continuously kept having dreams where I was dancing, and it was just so cool. I'd wake up happy. I'm like, oh, well, I guess I better do some dancing. So that's what we do at home now. We put the music on and we dance. And they're just always reminding me of things that I like that I've forgotten. They're bringing up like cool ideas of stuff I've always wanted to try that I've never tried. Like my new thing at the moment, I want to try learning skateboarding again. I tried when I was younger. I thought it was so cool, but I was scared of getting hurt. Couldn't do it as a model because what if I fall off and get a graze on my face or something, you know? So I had a dream the other night where one of my friends was doing these cool tricks, and I'm like, all right, well, that's my action. She's a skater girl now, people. But it's like driving me to do things that my soul wants to do that I couldn't logically think about or plan to do. And just that spark of joy. So it could, you know, for anyone, it could be anything else that you've forgotten that you like, or you don't even know that you like yet. And they'll come up and tell you what you need to know. It's just going to sleep. You need to be so careful of what you're thinking about as you fall asleep. So if you truly want to find out who you authentically are, then focus on that as you're falling asleep, over and over in your head. Like, show me what I like. Show me what I want to do. Like, show me what will make me feel happy, and only focus on that. Don't let the day's problems seep in, because then that's what your dream's going to be trying to focus on. If you're thinking about work as you fall asleep, guess what? You'll dream about work. So we all really have the choice of what we're going to dream about and how we want to use it. If you're feeling bad that day, as you're falling asleep, just ask, can I have a healing dream? I want a healing dream. And just repeat it over and over and over again. And you will get what you ask for. If you believe it will come, it will.
A piece I want to iterate, because I've heard you say it a few times in this conversation, is the action that you're taking on the other side of dreams. So can you just share about that? Because I think this is such a pivotal point.
Yes, this is the life-changing moment. So yeah, there's dream incubation, like I just said, where you can plan what you want to think about, what you want to dream about as you go to sleep. Then when you wake up, we've got dream interpretation, where we can go through it and pick it out and figure out what was the message, what does it mean, what's the hidden guidance. And then there's the action. So what are you going to do with the dream now that you know? What action could you take? And it can be something like, you could do a drawing, you could journal about the dream. We could take it up a notch. You can create a mantra from the dream if it's, you know, reminding you of something that you want to like ingrain into yourself? Or what action step could you take in your waking life? Like, was the dream something showing you a future course that you could take? Like, it may be suggesting a whole career change, and maybe that's too big. But what could you do, one little step, to honor that dream towards that new path of yours? Like, would it be looking up a course to do in that field? Is it getting around more of those people who do that as a job and just finding a little bit more information out about it? Like, there can be a little step or a huge step. Maybe it is just quit your job and go into the field you want to go into. Whatever it's telling you to do, it's taking action on the dream. And what that actually does, besides changing your waking life to align with your soul, what it also does is it helps you to strengthen the relationship that you have with your dream self, which is like your higher self, your soul. You need to think of it like a relationship, like a romantic relationship, and fall in love. By falling in love, I mean you're paying attention, you're writing it love notes, you're thinking about it through the day. You know that this thing loves you and you need to love it back. And by taking action on the messages it's giving you, it's so appreciative. And that's like the biggest way you can say, thank you, dreams. Thank you, soul. I love you too. I'm listening to the messages that you're giving me and I'm doing what you're asking me to. Then that strengthens that relationship that you have with your dream self, and the dreams then will become better again. They'll become clearer. You'll start to recognize similar patterns going on, and the messages coming through will be bigger, stronger. That it'll be like, yes, you're ready for it. Like, let's go up a notch. And usually then what I find is it might be like, oh, you've had a dream. You know, I had a dream of going to the IASD conference in 5 years. That was my 5-year goal. And then I had a dream about going there and working there and doing a little video thing. So in my waking life, my challenge was like to bring it up, think about it. How could this happen like in a few years' time? And I was talking about it with someone. We got the opportunity to go there this year. So because the relationship I have now is so strong and I'm taking actions, I feel like my dreams mixed with the universe like to sort of hand things to me on a platter now. And they're usually way bigger than I expected, or it's way sooner than I expected. But things are always happening at the time when you're ready for it. And you might think that your dreams are trying to push you to do things that you're not ready for. But trust me, if you weren't ready, you wouldn't be having the dream. You are ready. You're probably just bogged down holding on to old stuff that you need to let go of and take the leap and do the thing. So, yeah.
This point about the building of a relationship, I feel like this is such a good point to begin wrapping this conversation up, is because I think any time we do any work or experience something new, it can be like, I want results straight away and I want these big transformations. And it's like, yes, like that can happen. And also, like, there needs to be the courting, there needs to be a build and a relationship. Like, you don't, like, it may not happen straight away. Like, you need to
put some energy. You don't get to bang on the first date.
I wanted to say that or something similar. So yes, thank you. Thank you. Exactly. It's like actually building the energy of being like, okay, I'm going to show up for this as a devotional practice. And it's getting to know, getting to understand, and then allowing her, I say her because I treat life as a her, to reveal her secrets. And it's like, oh, there's a level of intentionality and a willingness to wait and be patient and continue to show up in devotion to this practice to receive the gold. It's like, oh, you don't get to go like raid the treasure hoard straight away. It's like, no, you get the gold when you're ready and you're open and to it, and you're not expecting the gold of like, I need it straight away. It's like, you're not here to take, you're here to receive and allow it to flow into you. Like, a very different energetic to play from.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, Melissa, before we finish up, is there any pieces of aliveness that you want to share with the dreamers?
I suppose I would just like to say that it's not going to be what you expect it to be. It's not going to be as easy as you think it is, but then all of a sudden it pays off. And it's like you just need to be open and willing to sort of let what you think you know fall away and be open to the possibilities that anything could come up. It could shove you in any way, any direction you don't know, but trusting and having faith and knowing that, like I said earlier, the dreams have your best intention. A nightmare is just a gift in ugly wrapping. And I know that sometimes the thing that has come up is that it can be scary to trust in yourself when you might be feeling like you don't even know yourself. That to me can feel like you're putting all your trust into a stranger. And that's what I found a little bit difficult with dream work, is it is shadow work at the same time, just in a different form. And so there will be things that come up, but let's say that there's someone scary in a dream comes to you. It is you, and just to show it love. Go into the dream space with love and everything will be fine. Everything will be better than fine, and then it will be amazing. And you need to sort of trust the process that there's going to be a few niggly bad ones that come up first, and don't be afraid of the monsters. Like, they'll end up being your friends at the end.
Trust the process. Always difficult and always beautiful when we do. Thank you for that potent piece, Melissa. As a last piece, I know you've got a new product coming out and you've got a few other things. So if people wanted to connect, if there's anything you want to share with the audience, I'd love if you could just speak into that.
Yeah, sure. So you can find me at dreamhub.au, or you can look up the Dream Hub podcast. Now, if you struggle to sleep or you struggle to remember your dreams, then this might be the thing for you. So I am bringing out a sleep and dream supplement called Night Nectar, and it is all natural plant medicine. So no chemicals, it's organic. So no bad health side effects. This only has positive side effects, but it naturally relieves and calms, alleviates your stress and anxiety and low moods. It's a proven remedy for tension, headaches, and insomnia, and it enhances your dream recall awareness and can heighten psychic sensitivity. Tastes delicious. It's got your dreamy dream mugwort and blue lotus flower in it with a few other things. But yeah, that's the newest thing coming out. And yeah, it's on my website, so you can check it out there.
And I'll put all that information in the show notes so people can access that easily as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Melissa, thank you so much for joining me here on The Weird Way. It's been a pleasure to have you share the wisdom of dream and us be able to connect and go a little bit deeper into this conversation. Thank you so much for being here. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks, Dean. I've loved it. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on The Weird Way.